You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans? This is your breaking news edition with Jabril Cox heading out to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he's going to be a part of the defending FBS national champion, Louisiana State Tigers. This coming with a personal announcement out of his own Twitter account that he has made his decision and feels like LSU, with their strong pipeline into the pros, is the best chance for him at the next level. Trev, what is your immediate reaction to this news?
So, pretty excited for the kid, to be honest with you. It's not many chances that individuals get to go play SEC football. And if you have that opportunity and you know that you can go play at that level, I can never blame a kid for doing that. So he will certainly be missed in Fargo. Clearly, we have benefited from his skill set the past few years, not only from a entertainment perspective, but a winning and results perspective too. So going to miss him, obviously wearing the green and gold, but certainly excited for the kid and want to see nothing but the best, because clearly he represents Bison Nation here going forward. So I think probably, it is a risk to a certain extent, but with great risk comes great reward. I think if he would have stayed in Fargo, his draft stock would have been probably stayed the same, maybe a mid-rounder, but he goes and does his thing in Baton Rouge and tears up the SEC. Okay, he's going to be making a heck of a lot more money his first couple years in the NFL. So he clearly believes in himself. I know a lot of us believe in him, myself included. There is an element of risk behind it, but nonetheless, if you have an opportunity to go play in the SEC, you go do it. So very proud of him, very excited to see what he does this year, given if we do have a football season.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I kind of wanted to talk about just briefly. And Trev, I know you are a little light on time tonight. The effects of COVID-19, and Nate and I obviously talked about this. We didn't have a chance to have you on after North Dakota State captured yet another Summit League championship in men's basketball. After some time to reflect, what an awesome moment that was. What a great achievement by Coach Richmond and those kids yet again. But what was the impact for you and your family? And I know obviously there are more serious things than sports, but just talk to me a little bit about the loss of March Madness and the loss of opening day and, the loss of some of the things that we really, really hold dear this time of year.
Well, I think part of that is it's what sports provides people in general. It provides hope. It provides a distraction. The American lifestyle can be very stressful if you don't manage it properly. We get naturally caught up in our work and our assets and our lifestyles people do in this country. And sports can provide an outlet, and you can root for underdogs. You can root for your team. You can root against who you deem as villains. I think we can all agree that the Houston Astros would be one of them. And so, with that being said, sports provide that outlet. Now it's gone. I know not having those things seems trivial in the big scheme of things when you have people dying in this world. So, if anybody listening has been affected, my thoughts sincerely go out to you. So it's something that is at the forefront of our world, and everybody just kind of needs to do their part so we can get back to our everyday lives sooner. So it's just an unfortunate reality of the current situation. Certainly don't want to see this happen. And the sports not being there, I mean, being fans of sports ourselves, watching it every day, it changes our everyday lifestyle. And, that's just part of it. But like I said, in the big scheme of things, it's really nothing. But hopefully we can get back to that sooner rather than later, simply because people do need those outlets. People do need those moments of hope. And that's what March Madness and the Masters and baseball and, you know, obviously fast forward to the fall, it provides a lot of people in this country. It provides that outlet and a time to come together as a group of people and cheer for something common. So it's bringing together people, and currently we are not allowed to do that pretty much anywhere. So, you know, just an unfortunate scenario that we're in, but highly encourage everybody to do their part so we can get back to what we love the most sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the big thing, right? Is we just need to get back to what we love. And the best way to do that, people, is stay inside. And you've heard it from Governor Burgum, Governor Walz, if you're living in Minnesota. The faster that we get back to sports is going to be really dependent on how well, you know, we listen as a society and stay away from each other and work from home when at all possible, and when not possible, take the precautions. Stay 6 feet away from each other. Wash your hands. Sanitize your hands. Wash doorknobs. Do all of the little things that might seem as annoyances, but will legitimately save American lives. And that's enough of that. And I just want to talk a little bit more about this Cox deal and set something straight, because I'm already seeing this on some of the things that we've posted. And I just want to tell people how absolutely absurd this concept is. People are worried that Jabril Cox won't see time at LSU. I can't tell you how dumb that is. Like, I guarantee you he was sold on a starting position. And secondly, he would have been their second best linebacker last year. Patrick Queen's going to be a first round pick, and maybe Patrick's a little bit better than Jabril, or at least has more NFL talent than Jabril, but he's better than Michael Divinity Jr., who's probably going to be a sixth, maybe a seventh round pick. And they lost both of those guys. Both of those guys are in the draft. There was articles on Go, and I'm spelling that G-A-U-X for all you Southern folk out there. There were articles on Go 24/7 that Orgeron was moving wide receivers to linebacker because they just don't have any guys left. And even if that wasn't the case, I can't struggle enough to explain to you that if you believe, as NFL scouts that I've talked to believe, that this guy is a top 100 pick, in a given year in the top 100, five, maybe six linebackers go, because it's just not as important of a position anymore, maybe seven linebackers go, that's seven linebackers in the whole country. They're probably going to come from seven different schools, maybe six different schools. What I can guarantee you is that they don't all play for the same position, and they definitely don't all play for LSU. Jabril Cox is one of the best six, seven, eight, nine linebackers in the country, period, full stop. He starts for every team in the country. If you are actually concerned that Jabril Cox is not going to start or play at LSU, I can't help you.
Right. So, I mean, I get the train of thought, because you have, okay, if you take it from an outside perspective, you say FCS to SEC, if you take that verbatim and that's the only thing you take a look at, I see where the train of thought comes in. But when you dig into it, first of all, you got a special cat who's already going to be right now a mid-level draft pick, and he's a grad transfer. The conversations that those coaches and players are having as grad transfers change drastically, because those kids are going to better their opportunity, and they are not going to not have those conversations about where they fit in the lineup. So anytime you have a kid coming into a new school as a grad transfer, especially when it is blatantly obvious that it is football or athletics related, there are instances where it is school related, but he's clearly, the message here is to say, hey, I want to up my draft stock. The conversations he's having is, in order to do that, I need to be on the field. And if you're not going to tell me that I'm not guaranteed that, I'm not going there. So it's definitely a calculated decision. And certainly those conversations would be had before he would make that decision. This kid would be, I mean, this kid is, I don't know who he's been offered from specifically, but those coaches that have offered him are clearly saying the same message of, you will be playing here, because they wouldn't pony up that offer in the first place. So,
right. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to wrap up saying, I get the train of thought, but when you really look at it, he's a grad transfer trying to up his draft stock. So clearly he's going to play.
Right, right. So, and that's the thing you have to remember, folks, is this takes a scholarship away from LSU in recruiting. This is an investment by them as well. You have to understand that, Coach Klieman, lots of guys talk about, we don't make promises to recruits, and they probably don't, that's probably legitimate. People, they make promises to grad transfers. If you're going to play 1 year, you're not going to go and fight it out. Unless you're really ring chasing or doing something like that, and you're kind of in a quasi Zeb Noland type of deal. But Jabril is not Zeb. It's not the same thing. He is headed to LSU so that he can start and so that he can play. And so ultimately that he can increase the value of his draft stock. Now, whether that's valid, I think is another question. I think I've seen some scouts that are, have no ties to North Dakota State, whatsoever. I think, frankly, accurately say that Jabril could have finished out his season, and as long as he played the way that I think and that they think he's capable of playing in the Senior Bowl, that he probably would have been drafted at the same position. You look at what is happening right now to Jeremy Chin's draft stock from Southern Illinois, and I promise you Southern Illinois has a much smaller NFL profile than North Dakota State, and Chin still might be a top 45 pick just because he blew up the combine and he blew up the and he blew up the Senior Bowl and played well when he was down there. I think those are valid concerns, and I think it is reasonable that this move to LSU might not affect his draft stock at all. With that said, who cares? It's his choice. He's accomplished everything at North Dakota State that he can possibly accomplish outside of the Buck Buchanan Award, and who knows if he even cares about that. He has a chance now to chase a dream of being on national television every week. Every LSU game is national televised. And frankly, guys, the other thing, and Trevor and I, if we had 45 minutes, we'd get into this, but they're not going to need him. North Dakota State, honest to God, might score 50 a game, might score 55 a game. You look at who returns on offense, and all you have to pretty much replace is a right guard. You're bringing back number five. These guys are going to be dangerous offensively. And would they be in a better team with Jabril Cox? Yeah. Are they still by far the best team in the country? Also, yes.
Well, yeah, there's definitively a gap between the guys in Fargo and everybody else in the country right now. This group of guys was very young, extremely talented. It's something that we beat everybody over the head this last fall on our pods. And they're only going to continue to get better. So you look at who's coming back. 42, unfortunately, isn't one of them, but there is a plethora of dudes coming back that will wreak havoc and continue to separate themselves from the rest of the FCS. So really not concerned from that perspective. I don't think really anybody is, but it's pretty remarkable to think that a guy like Jabril Cox, we'll see what his future ends up being, but a guy of that caliber can leave a team in the FCS and they can maintain that their consistency of high level play.
For sure. Like we mentioned, this is just, I think it should be a reality check for people that need to kind of understand just how high level some of these kids that head to the NFL combine are. You need to understand that if a guy ranks Derek Tuska as the 13th or 14th best outside pass rusher in the conference, it means there's probably about three teams in the whole country he wouldn't have started for. And I think that's something that Bison fans can't quite get there. Like, I can tell you, Derek Tuska would have been the starting defensive end opposite Kayvon Thibodeau in Oregon. Derek Tuska would have absolutely started for the Gophers. Derek Tuska would have started for Nebraska. He would have started, a lot of places. I think, he probably could have, frankly, started opposite Chaisson at LSU. I don't know that for sure, but when you're the 12th or 13th best player at your position at the NFL Combine, it's in the whole country. You know, and the SEC has 14 teams. I just don't think these guys understand how elite Kyle Emanuel was, how elite Derek Tuska is, how elite Easton Stick is, and how difficult, you know, some of those jobs are to find. I've been scouting wide receivers for 3 years now pretty heavily, and just the other day was watching Brian Edwards, a stud. He's from your neck of the woods, Trev. He's a Gamecock, and the Cocks have had abysmal quarterback play, multiple levels below what North Dakota State has had. I watched Brian Edwards field grounders in the dirt and thinking, man, NDSU has basically had 15 years of quarterback play at a higher level than this SEC school. And I just hope that after Jabril completely balls out in Baton Rouge, that our fans, NDSU's fans, get a better understanding of just how gifted some of these kids are.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird to bring that up because we have some friends that live in our neighborhood, and one of them went to South Carolina. So, and she is friends with Connor Shaw. So it's weird how life comes full circle because Connor Shaw also went on his visit to Cleveland, either Cleveland or Cincinnati. I remember Brock telling me about it the same time Brock did. So when I take a look at the guys that I played with and then compare them to even Connor Shaw, who is the younger brother of Georgia Southern version one, Jabo Shaw. So a lot of ties there, but yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There are plenty of guys that have worn the green and gold that even haven't started that are better than what the SEC is producing. So that's kind of crazy to think about, but yeah, it'll be fun to see what Jabril does in Baton Rouge and then reflect back to think about his time in Fargo to think how truly lucky we are to have guys of that caliber. Another guy that comes to mind of talent that we did get to see for 4 years was Billy Turner. There is no way that Billy Turner should not have been in the Big Ten. And I don't know how people didn't take that kid, because when I look at him and his stature, his size, what he could do, there is nothing there that gives a flaw to say, okay, this is why he's FCS. A lot of us, you could say that. You could look at Grant Olson. People said he was too short. Myself, I was too skinny. Ryan Smith, too short. Billy Turner, he had Mountain Man on his license plate. So, you know, when you take a look at that and you get to see it now finally translate in a guy like Jabril Cox, it'll be fun to really see and think and play hypothetical and go, what if? So that'll be fun. And I think it'll be encouraging to fans in Fargo to really see how truly lucky we are of some of the athletes that have came through there.
For sure. For sure. All right, buddy, I'm going to let you go. You got a busy night tonight. I got a busy day tomorrow. And we're just wrapping up kind of a mini version of the Jabril Cox heads to LSU pod. You know, there's really no other way to put it. Surprising news, but it was the destination that I kind of put out there that made the most sense because of just how deep LSU's need at linebacker was. All right, buddy, I really appreciate you coming on. Go Bison.